The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha. Homage to the Dharma. Homage to the Sangha. Today we're going to talk about Great Master Dogen's chapter on the unbounded. The title of this chapter, Koku, means space. Another metaphor. Because space has no visible attributes. It's formless, it includes everything, and it doesn't obstruct anything. So it's often used to describe emptiness or the void that other people say, meaning Buddha nature that embraces everything and is limitless. But as Rinpoche Hubert points out, terms like emptiness and the void can sound negative, like there's nothing there. So he prefers the term the unbounded, which conveys the sense of it being free and limitless, without boundaries, nothing outside it, embracing everything. And in this chapter where we have space with a capital S, as he's done it, I will often substitute the unbounded, which I think might give us a clearer idea of what Dogen is pointing us to, so we don't get stuck with space. Because when you read it, you can see the capitals and the uncapitals, but when you have it read to you, you can't. So I'll just say the unbounded, when it seems clear that Great Master Dogen is talking about the unbounded. He says, because right here is where the what exists, it causes Buddhas and ancestors to find ways to express it. Another way of referring to Buddha nature, the what, sometimes used. The what, Buddha nature, the unbounded, because it can't be described. So sometimes it's referred to as the what, suchness, that which is, that which comes like this, in very amorphous terms. And right here is where it is, it's not off somewhere else, because right here is where the what exists. And it causes Buddhas and ancestors to find ways to express it. It's the being right here now that is the point of many of the koan stories that Dogen relates. And we have one right here, right off, and an ancestor finding a way to express the unbounded. Meditation master Shakyo Eno of the Fuchu region once asked meditation master Seido Chizo, coming back to the topic, do you know how to grab hold of space with a capital S? Seido replied, of course I know how to grab hold of space, small s. The master said, and just how do you grab hold of space? Seido made a gesture with his hand as if gathering up a handful of something. The master said, you do not know how to grab hold of space, the unbounded. Seido responded, my elder monastic brother, you who are a master, just how do you grab hold of space? He's asking for an explanation. Thereupon, the master grabbed hold of Seido's nose and gave it a yank. Trying to suppress a yelp, Seido explained, how awful of you, pulling a person's nose like that. Fortunately, I've been able to get free quick enough. It's actually worked, it's woken up. This nose grabbing has woken him up. And the master said, if you could have grabbed hold of me like that, you would have grasped it right from the start. Dogen explains all this. Sadhu has a limited view of what the unbounded is. He doesn't know it for himself. He's just thinking about space, or thinking the unbounded is like a lump of something. And Shakya grabs him by the nose. It's right here. And Sadhu gets it. Now, as Dogen explains, it's not that Shakya wakes Sadhu up. Sadhu has to be ready to be woken up, or ready to wake up himself. Shakya just tipped the balance. Sadhu has to do the training for himself. You go around yanking people's noses all day and you just get a lot of people upset. Shakya knew that Sadhu was ready to understand. And, says Dogen, he did not want to end up trying to describe it to him. So he yanks his nose hard. Doesn't hold back. Now we have compassion in the matter. Dogen says, Shakya's question, do you know how to grab hold of the unbounded, is asking, is your whole being through and through hands and eyes? This is a reference to Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva of compassion. He's saying, are you manifesting compassion through and through? Compassion is the unbounded. It's not a separate thing. To think about the unbounded, or to try and grasp it or talk about it, without there being compassion, makes no sense. It just becomes a sterile idea. Because when we train wholeheartedly, when we practice the Bodhisattva vow, when we see no difference between myself and everybody else, as we've been talking about, this is the practice of compassion. This is to grasp the unbounded, as will become clearer as we go on. Grasping the unbounded doesn't mean grabbing onto something and keeping it. We may grasp the unbounded, understand it, see it for a moment, but then we have to let it go and keep on doing our daily training. We don't want to get stuck with some idea of what the unbounded is, even if we've seen it or seen a little bit of it. Otherwise, we're trying to limit something that is limitless. Never to think we've seen the whole thing. There's always going on, going on. Dogen says, Shakya knew a bit about a monk's everyday behavior of grabbing hold of the unbounded. Even if you're a good hand at grabbing hold of the unbounded, i.e. seeing the unbounded, you need to explore through your training with your master the ins and outs of the unbounded. Don't think that you know all about it. Even if you seem to have a lot of spiritual experience, you're an old hand at seeing it, grabbing the unbounded. There is always more. Never to think we've seen the whole thing, we've done the whole thing, we've arrived. And he says, you need to explore through your training the killing off of the unbounded, i.e. letting go of our ideas of what it might be or what it is. Our killing off of the idea of the unbounded. And the revitalizing of it. And you need to know the relative importance of the unbounded, not to get caught up in our ideas about it or any experience we may have of it. To keep it all in perspective. Because we have all the other aspects of training as well, dealing with daily life, keeping to the precepts, and so on, not just having experiences, all the daily matters of daily life, our ceaseless practice that we've been talking about. As Dogen explains, and I think this is the central thing of this, you need to preserve and rely upon the grasping of the unbounded, which is, namely, you're doing your utmost to train in the way. You're giving rise to the intention to realize that one's training and enlightenment are identical. And you're listening to what Buddha after Buddha and ancestor after ancestor have put forth. Doing our utmost to train in the way is the grasping of the unbounded. It's not something different or something lesser. Doing our utmost to train in the way, giving rise to the intention to realize that our training and enlightenment are identical. They're not separate. Dogen says this over and over again. Training is enlightenment. It's the practice of enlightenment. Realizing it, making it real for ourselves. Having faith in this, having faith in our own practice, and listening to the Dharma, to what Buddha after Buddha and ancestor after ancestor have put forth, not thinking we know it all, we don't need to learn anything, or thinking that we don't know anything. Simply trusting that we are grasping the unbounded. Grasping the unbounded, seeing it, or living it, living true to it, is not something just for other people somewhere else. It's for us, right here and now. That's why Sado's nose got yanked. Look, it's right here. Got his attention. Dogen says, my late master, the old Buddha of Tendo, Tendo Nyojo, once said the following, my whole being is like the mouth of a bell suspended in empty space. And Dogen says, clearly, you need to recognize that the whole body of space hangs in, capital S, space, the unbounded. Tendo Nyojo means that his whole being gives forth wisdom. And there's a poem that Tendo Nyojo said, which is in one of the other chapters. Impartial to all, it sounds the wisdom for the sake of others. Bong, bong, bong. This means that Tendo Nyojo himself is empty like a bell. He's just a vessel for the Dharma, giving it forth, bong, 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 speaking the Dharma for the benefit of beings. Like Dogen, too, a vessel for the Dharma. One of our monks said, it's quite possible that Dogen himself didn't understand the whole of the Shobogenzo. He just gave voice to it, let it come through him. And Reverend Master Hubert said the same thing when he was translating it. Some of it he didn't understand. So he would just sit still and let it come through, as he put it. He said this often, just something comes through. He didn't take credit for himself. He sat still, let it come through. Dogen sat still, let it come through. We try to sit still, let it come through. Tendo Nyojo, the same. Now we have another koan story. The eminent scholar, Abbot Seizan of Hungju province, once paid a visit to Basso. Basso asked him, what scripture do you lecture on? Seizan replied, the heart scripture. Basso then asked him, and what do you use to lecture on it with? Seizan replied, I use my mind with which to lecture on it. Basso then said, the mind is like the starring actor. Our will is like its supporting player, with the six senses playing the accompanying cast. How can these possibly comprehend how to lecture on a scripture? Seizan responded, with a mind unable to give a lecture, surely empty space could hardly do it, meaning literally physical space. Basso said, on the contrary, it is space, the unbounded, that is able to give a lecture. With a dismissive swish of his sleeve, Seizan departed. Doesn't like it. Basso called after him, learned monk. Seizan turned his head around. Basso said, from birth to old age, it is ever thus. Thereupon, Seizan caught it. He got it. Eventually, he went into hiding on Mount Sazan, hence his name, and nothing more was heard from him. He gave up his erudition, gave up his fame, and just became an ordinary person, disappeared from public sight. Nice story. And once again, we have the master getting somebody's attention. Wake up. There's birth and old age and death. There's impermanence. Don't worry about erudition and the great mind, your mind. And this is his equivalent of yanking the nose. And Sazan gets it right away. He gives up his erudition and his eminence and goes off into the mountains. It's exemplary. If somebody has this thing they've identified with, and they just put it down. Oh, they see it. Let go of that whole self thing. Dogen explains. Accordingly, Buddhas and ancestors alike are persons who expound the scriptures, and they invariably use the unbounded in expounding these scriptures, rather than the brain and all the supporting actors and so forth. Were it not for the unbounded, they will not be able to expound even one scripture. Whether they expound on the mind as scripture or expound on the body as scripture, in either case, they do the expounding by means of the unbounded. Giving lectures from an intellectual standpoint is useless. It's the unbounded that gives the real lecture. Whatever we may be talking about, whatever we're discussing, it's the unbounded that we try to let come through. To get oneself out of the way, not try to be clever and impress people, and simply let the Dharma come forth. Like Tendun Yojo, bong, 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 is not ours. By means of the unbounded, Dogen says, they manifest what they are deliberately thinking about, as well as what goes beyond deliberate thought. You have to use your mind, but they manifest both, what they are deliberately thinking about, as well as that which goes beyond it. Not only have they achieved the wise discernment from having a master, and the wise discernment that goes beyond having a master, they have also developed their innate intelligence as well as their learned intelligence, for all of these are due to the unbounded. Their becoming Buddha and their becoming an ancestor must likewise have been due to the unbounded. We have to do the training. We have to use our wise discernment and our intelligence, as he says, and the unbounded helps us. All our attributes, whether seemingly positive or seemingly negative, whether they seem to help us on our way or obstruct us, all are part of the unbounded. We need to accept them all, not try to cut anything off, but let it all help us in our ceaseless practice. Not think, well, I'm not very smart, or I'm really smart, or whatever we may think of ourselves, or whatever attributes we may have, physical, mental, body or mind, spiritual, we think we don't meditate very well, or we don't keep the precepts very well, or we're kind of clueless, or have some other difficulty, we're getting old, whatever it might be, they're not an obstruction. We can use them to help us. They are all part of the unbounded, part of Buddha nature. To accept them all, not try to cut anything off, let it all help us in our ceaseless practice. Dogen says, our 21st ancestor, the Venerable Bashu Banzu, once said the following: our physical being is the same as the realm of the unbounded, and this proclaims the teaching that it is equal to the unbounded. We are part of the unbounded. Our physical being is part of the unbounded, just as it is our mind is part of the unbounded. When someone is able to awaken to the unbounded, there is no absolutely right, nor is there any absolutely wrong way. To be precise, at the very moment when there is the mutual encountering and mutual recognition between a person facing the wall and the war, capital W, facing a person, the realm of the unbounded can be described as the mind of fences and walls and the mind of a withered tree. The mind of fences and walls is the mind of our daily experience, fences and walls of our daily experience. The mind of a withered tree is the mind of deep meditation. Sometimes withered trees are an analogy for monks sitting in meditation, or anybody sitting in meditation, meditating deeply. The mind of a withered tree, still, quiet, not dried up and fossilized, still and quiet, not grabbing out and looking for things. The mind of fences and walls, the mind of our daily experience, and the mind of the withered tree, the mind of deep meditation, we need both of these. They're not separate. Neither is absolutely right, nor absolutely wrong. Neither deep meditation is perfect and daily experience is wrong. We need both. They all permeate each other. Nothing is separate. In meditation, we face the war, and the war, the unbounded, faces us. Nothing separate. We are right there, nose to nose, and actually part of the unbounded Buddha nature. Nothing separate, nothing to be afraid of, nothing that is not part of us. For those who need to be saved in accord with their own bodily form, Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva of compassion, will forthwith manifest in that form and give expression to the Dharma for the sake of that person. This is what is meant by the pointing to the principle of being like the unbounded. The unbounded comes in whatever form is helpful. For those who need to be saved in accord with some other bodily form, Avalokiteshvara will forthwith manifest in that form and give expression to the Dharma for the sake of that person. This too is what is meant by pointing to the principle of being like unbounded, the unbounded. Not clinging onto anything, no absolutely right, absolutely wrong. Appearing in whatever form will help beings. No limitation, no obstruction, no this isn't good enough. Whatever is helpful. Compassion is the unbounded. It's not a separate thing. If we try to think, I will experience Buddha nature, but you don't have a heart of compassion, or you think, I have experienced Buddha nature, or am experiencing it, and there is not the heart of compassion. Something is lacking. We're seeing with just one eye. We need both wisdom and compassion, the twin pillars of the Mahayana, as they say. Compassion without wisdom, wisdom without compassion, it doesn't work. You need both. Wisdom to see what's good to do. The hands and eyes are wisdom. The eyes are wisdom, and the hands are compassion, acting. Maybe that's a better way to put it. We see with the eye of wisdom, with the eye of compassionate wisdom, and the hand gives out help with compassion. Whether you are being controlled by the 24 hours of any day or are in control of the 24 hours of any day, in either case, they are both times when you can awaken to the unbounded. Whether we feel at the mercy of time rushed from here to there, or we feel we're in control of things and everything is fine, in either case, they are both times when we can awaken to the unbounded. No matter what situation we are in, We are within the unbounded. It's right here. It's not just when you're sitting still in meditation. It's right in the middle of our busy life, right in the middle of a business meeting, right sitting on the bus, right when we're talking to somebody or not getting along with somebody or whatever may be going on. We're too busy on the phone all the time. It's right there. It's hard to remember. It's hard to see. But it's still right there, embracing everything, all our situations, all our anxieties, all our efforts, all our struggles, all our mistakes, all our wisdom and compassion embraces everything. Whether we call it the unbounded or Buddha nature or the what or the unseen, we are always within it. We can never be outside it. No matter what state of mind we may be in or what situation we may be in, or no matter what we may have done or what may have happened to us, and no matter what may happen in the future, everything is within the unbounded. When we're paying attention, we can come back to this. When we're worried or afraid or upset, or we've broken the precepts or done something dumb, or when everything is fine, we can come back to this. All of it is within the unbounded. We cannot put ourselves outside Buddha nature. To trust this is to take refuge in the three treasures, to live the life of faith. We give rise to the unsurpassed mind, to the mind of enlightenment, the aspiration to help all beings cross over to the other shore. We do our ceaseless practice, the training of daily life, just as the Buddhas and ancestors did. And all of this just as we've been talking about this week. The gateway of ceaseless practice rolls on just like this. Dogen ends this chapter. When a stone is large, it is large, just as it is. And when a stone is small, just as it is. This is the principle of things being beyond right and wrong. This is simply the way, at this very moment, to thoroughly explore the unbounded as the treasure house of the eye of the true teaching, which is the wondrous heart of nirvana. Our ceaseless practice rolls on just like this. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.